So let's start today from the book of Romans chapter 12. If you have your Bibles quickly, can you just open over there? He said, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God. And he said, this is your spiritual service of worship. Notice the word that this is your spiritual service. That is, that's how you serve God. It's by doing certain issues. He said, here we are beginning with presenting our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. And he said, this is acceptable to God. Verse 2, he said, this is how you do it. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, I read those things so that we can get it in context. My main message for today, what is relevant, begins from verse 3. He said, for through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many, all right, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. Let me read that again. My Bible is the New American Standard, and I like the way it expresses that. He said, and since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, now is listing the gifts, if prophecy according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches, that is, if he's teaching in his teaching, he who exhorts, he said, let the person exercise himself in his exhortation and exhort in proportion, all right, to his faith. He who gives, let him exercise himself in giving and thereby give with liberality. I'm amplifying it now. He said, he who leads, let him lead with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, let me stop there. All right? Just quickly flip to the next portion of the scriptures I want us to read. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'll be quick and just read one verse there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'll start from verse 6. Now I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Let each one do just as he has proposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness abides forever. Now, verse 10 is just my emphasis. I just like to read in context. It said, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched, he said, in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. Now, here Paul was speaking specifically about the matter of giving when he was trying to gather some things for the saints, but I'm not speaking specifically about the matter of money or giving now. I just need to apply some principle that Paul explained there. Now, where were we? We were talking about how to work for God, and we began that 2 days ago. This is the third and final day of our three-day seminar on how to work for God. Please let me just say something. Even if you gave me 6 hours, all right, that's like I have 2 hours each day for 3 days, I cannot say everything that I know or even would love to say. And that's why I recommend that everybody reads the book, How to Work for God. The book contains at least 3 or 4 times what I have preached, all right? If you see, the book has about 5 or 6 sections. You'll see a section talking about the first work of God, which I discussed yesterday. There's a section I talk about prayer is work. I'm not going to talk about that at all, maybe more than a few minutes today. I talked about how to give as working for God. I will not have time to talk about that. I talked about how to rest as working for God. I will not have time today to talk about all of that, all right? I'll just glean over them. So I recommend that please you read that book, all right? Now, so what are the things we have said so far? Let me spend about 3 minutes recapping. Number one, I said that we don't work for God so as to get his approval. That's very important. that the approval, what the Bible calls righteousness. Let me quickly say that about righteousness, all right? Righteousness is when God looks at you and says you are okay, and is the requirement he needs before he pours forth his blessing upon anybody. The righteousness that God sees in your heart, in your life, is what he needs before he pours forth his blessing upon you. And that's why the Bible talks about the righteousness of God. Now, what that implies is that there are different kinds of righteousness. But the one that God recognizes is the one the Bible calls the righteousness of God. Are you getting my point? The Bible always talks about God's mercy upon those who fear him. It talks about God's protection upon those who are righteous. The righteous are like this. The righteous are like that. Righteousness is what God requires. Is that okay? Before he pours forth his blessing upon you. And indeed, you need God to give you that approval of righteousness if you want his blessing. But we said there are different kinds of righteousness. There is the righteousness which is of God. Paul said, herein is the righteousness of God revealed. Where is that herein? In the gospel of Christ. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ Jesus. It is a power of God unto salvation. He explained that that is where you find the righteousness of God. That is what makes you acceptable as a person. It's your faith in Christ Jesus. It is not how much you walk in church. It's not how much you preach to your neighbor. It's not how much you give to sponsor the work of the gospel. It's not even how much you honor the man of God. It's not how much you do charitable work. No, it is because of your faith in Christ Jesus. And once you are of faith, you are acceptable in the beloved. You are acceptable as far as God is concerned. And we read from the book of Ezekiel, I think chapter 16, in which God described how he picked up Jacob, picked up Israel, using the typology of a young woman. And said, look, when nobody wanted you, I loved you. You didn't do anything. When you were born, when you had never done any good work, I showed you my love. I did everything for you just because I loved you. And you didn't do anything to merit that. Therefore, Christians should not try to do things that they think are supposedly of God so that God might love them. God loves you as you are. It's very important you understand that. Because it helps you to do that which is right without being under pressure. Is that okay? To try and please God. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Very vital. So I said motive is important. I'm going to talk about the most important motives today, all right? On how we walk, whatever we are doing. All right, so I said, but the first work of God, let me repeat that for another minute, is inside. What God is going after is the purification of your heart. We have come to a mount where you find the spirits of just men made perfect. God talked about being predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So the major work God is doing on earth is inside people. And you are the first person God is walking inside. He said to the elders in Ephesus, take heed to yourselves first. And then, that's Acts chapter 20. And then to the church of God, which he has made you overseers to feed the flock of God. That is, God is first concerned about the person he's sending before he's concerned about the work the person is going to do. Are you getting my point? Are you getting my point? Listen. Most of what we do these days, I told you at the beginning that my own personal conservative assessment, 85% of the work that Christians do that I've observed these days are done in ignorance, are done in confusion, and do not have the approval of God. It's my own personal estimate. It's my own personal estimate. And how you know it, you see that for most of us, once it's done around the church, a ministry, something that what we call the work of God, all right, then it is okay. But believe me, it is not. God is first working on your heart. He's not working outside. I explained that yesterday extensively. I'm not going to go over it again. I just want to recap that for a few minutes. God is first working on your heart. God is first working where? On your heart. And I said something, let me say it again, because it's very important. What God rewards is not what we can see. In fact, as a rule, anything people can see, God is not rewarding it. As a rule. I don't mean that if you are doing a work and people are seeing it, that God will refuse to give you reward for that. That's not what I mean. I mean, in that work, it is not the work you are doing that God is rewarding. For example, I believe that, if I say it all the time, every time I preach, I'm preaching and I'm as part of my work for God. But when God wants a reward, all right, he's not rewarding the way you are thinking, this man is very dedicated. No, God looks at it and says, what exactly is his motivation? That one you can't see. That one no human being can see. If you know me for 20 years, you may be able to decipher what really is my motivation. If you are very close to me, you may be able to decipher what's my motivation from the things that I say. You have to be extremely wise and insightful to be able to say. Are you getting my point? But God sees the hearts of people. And when he's dealing, it's what's inside our hearts that is rewarding. That's what I mean. So if you are walking outwardly, God is not rewarding the work outwardly. He's rewarding the work inside. That's why I said people say that sow money. I say you can't sow money into the realm of the spirit. You can't. That's why you cannot sow money and expect more money. It doesn't work. You can sow mercy. That can enter in the realm of the spirit. And you obtain what? Mercy. So you can sow money as a form of mercy. And God can preserve your life as a reward for mercy you sowed in giving money. It is not correct theology. All right? Spiritual understanding? No, it's not. It's not correct spiritual understanding to say that if you give dollar, you get dollar. God does not spend dollars. Therefore, he doesn't recognize the giving of dollars. What he recognizes is the motivation behind the giving of dollar. Are you getting my point? Therefore, you may not give money at all, and God rewards you with money. Because Paul said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Are you getting my point? And he was talking to those who gave him materially. Your need may be for good health. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Now, I'm not saying that people should not give. Of course, you know that's not what I'm saying. I'm trying to get our motives right. When you give money because you want to get, believe me, you've been wasting a lot of your time, and that's why you have not received the reward till now. You know. Do I need to tell you? I hope you are following the point I'm trying to make. You sow spiritual things into the realm of the spirit. If you want to sow into the realm of the spirit, what you are sowing must be spiritual. I'm using that one to explain the fact again that it's not what we see outwardly that God is rewarding. It is what we cannot see. So you see the man preaching. And you see this man is working very hard for God. And God said, this man is competing with Paul who is in prison. He wants to show Paul that life can go on even though he's in jail. God might use his preaching to convert multitudes, but he gets no reward. Because what is pushing him, all right, is not the love for the souls. It's not the love for God as recognizing the call of God upon his life. It's not the understanding of the requirement of the gospel in the lives of people. That the people need the gospel. No. Just that I will show Paul is not the only one that can preach. He will labor day and night. Paul said, I don't care why you are preaching. I am rejoicing the fact that you are preaching. But God cares. He said, I, the Lord, I search the heart. I test the mind before I reward you for your labors. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. We said that one before. So that's where we are. And I said, that's what I closed with. That listen, you know, there is a kind of walk outwardly. Now let me quickly say it again. So the first walk is walk that is inside. All right? So we purify our motives. We purify our spirits. The spirits of just men made perfect. I talked about Abraham. That it took God 25 years to give Isaac. That he promised to Abraham, because it took Abraham 25 years to be ready, to be fully prepared, to have his spirit made perfect to receive the person of Isaac. We explained that one. You understand that? Now, that's so inside is where the first walk is. Then outwards, all right, what manifests is a natural outworking of the real work that have gone on inside. Do you get my point? Let me give you as an example. If a man has been converted to a giver, that book, I think I have a chapter on cheerful giver. I saw it yesterday. I'd forgotten that we have a chapter on cheerful giver in the book, Grace to Prosper. If a man has been converted to being a giver, if he's in the wilderness and there's nobody to give to, he's still a giver. Do you understand my point? He doesn't get up and say, now that there's no human being, let me give to the stones and give to the grass or the sand and give to the serpents. No. He's a giver. When you will know that he's a giver is when he gets into a situation, all right? In his heart, he's a giver, whether you are seeing him giving or not. But when he gets into the situation where the need for him to give will manifest, it will naturally manifest without him trying. Are you getting what I'm saying? Why? Because he's been converted into being something. The problem a lot of times is that we have not been converted. We have not been changed. We have not been transformed. We are copying acts. Are you getting my point? That's why, I'm sorry to say it, but I need to say it categorically. That is why if you are in a place and somebody is telling stories. Upon gave $1 million and got $75 million. I don't tell the story. You get up, you give all of you that get up under those circumstances for those motivations. You have wasted your time. You have wasted your money. You are not a giver. You are not a giver. You have been manipulated. I'm not saying other people's testimonies can't encourage you. That's not what I'm saying. But when you are looking, when you are copying, are you getting my point? When we start copying acts, we start copying acts. When we have not been transformed, that's a work that doesn't have any substance in it. But real works, this is what happens. It starts from inside. Are you getting my point? Once it has happened inside, that's what I'm trying to emphasize. Once it has happened inside, the outward walking is automatic. That's why Jesus said, all you hypocrites, you whitewash tombs, you clean the outside of the cup. He said, wash, what was it that he said? Wash the inside of the cup, and the outside will be clean also. You know, those were the words of Jesus. Wash the inside of the cup, and the outside will be clean also. That's why my own assignment is to wash the inside of men. Then their outsides will be working properly also. How do you wash the inside of men? We discussed that yesterday. It's by the word of God. I said the word of God, the first job it does is to transform people. Let me say this again, by the way, but it will help us. The blood of Jesus. I say it all the time, and I pray that everybody will hear it and believe it. The blood of Jesus was never, ever, 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 ever designed by God for enemies. All my enemies, the blood of Jesus, it doesn't do anything to them. I hope you understand that. It doesn't do anything to them. The blood was shed for the purification of your soul. It was shed for the forgiveness of your sin. He said, but the angel of death was repelled by the blood. Very good. They didn't go around chasing the angel of death with the blood. They applied the blood to their own house. Are you getting my point? So when the angel of death came, while they were sleeping, what am I saying? The blood was a sign of a covenant they had with God. And that covenant was what protected them from the angel of death. People wake up, all my enemies, the blood of Jesus. It doesn't work like that. The blood of Jesus works on your heart. What am I saying? You apply it to the proper place. What do you use the blood of Jesus for? For the purification of your heart. For the forgiveness of your own sins. Please forget your enemies. Your enemies, the blood of Jesus doesn't do them anything. It was not meant for them. Do you understand what I'm saying? We do our work inside. And outwardly, the protection against the enemies will come automatically. When it comes to working for God, what are the right motivations? And that's what I'm trying to do. Because once you have the right motivation, then we'll discover that we'll settle it. You're not trying to use it to please God. I hope you understand that. You are not trying to use it to please God. That is like to gain God's approval. What you are doing is that now that you have been accepted, are you getting my point? You start living up to your calling as a believer. He said, God created you for good works, which he aforehand preordained that you should walk in. Until you are accepted by God, you can't do good works that's acceptable by him. Should I say that again? Until God has accepted you, your righteousness, that is, your walking, is like filthy rags in his sight. So we're not trying to walk so that God will accept us. The only reason why we can walk at all is that we have been accepted. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. I hope that is very clear to all of us. All right? So now, once we have done the right things, and what are the right things? We have refined our hearts. And another side of the right thing, let me quickly add that one to it, is that we must recognize the issue of calling. I think that's one of the most important things I actually preach. Faith, calling, and all of that. Because when I first started teaching in this particular venue, the first series we did was titled Man on Assignment. And after that, I've taught this year or last year, we talked about the life of purpose. The main work of God is about purpose. That is, after the inner purification. Are you getting my point? The next thing you do, all right, is a recognition of your purpose. I said the first work is inside. Now, what do I mean by that? There was something that you see in the life of Jesus. Let me use his life as an example. All right? Now, as a young boy, they were looking for him everywhere. Finally, they found him in the temple. And they said, oh boy, why did you do this to us? He said, what did I do? We're looking for you everywhere. He said, why are you looking for me everywhere? You should have known that there is a where I would have been. Do you get my point? Where is that where? My father's business. That's what he said. You should have known that I would be somewhere doing my father's business. You should have started looking for me in the temple. Now, Jesus understood that God had a calling for his life, had an assignment. And that was what was primary in his life. In fact, the calling of God moved him to a particular level that it became painful. The heart wanted to turn back. So he told the disciples, say, what shall I say? Should I say, Father, deliver me from this hour? He said, for this cause I came to this hour. You know, I was preaching some time ago. The Holy Spirit put some words in my mouth, and I've used it another place where I preach. Let me say it again. This is an interesting thing about marriage. I said there's one lie that Satan sold to a lot of our young women. No, I need a husband who can take care of me. I said, you are not an assignment in life. Hear it now. I'll keep on saying it to young women. You are not an assignment in life. God has not called anybody to take care of you. What is wrong with you that I should be taking care of you? Look, doing what is pleasing to God, is just to get your thoughts right. I told you that, you know, I was saying the other day. People said that I pray and God spoke to me. No, I told you, those things don't impress me more. God speaks to people. He has spoken to me. He has taught me things. I have gotten revelations by dreams. Are you getting my point? It's visions that me, I'm not used to having. But dreams, they happen. But I know I don't place my energy there. I don't place my energy there. I don't wait for it. I don't ask for it. If he wants to come, fine. People say, you pray till God shows you. I said, go and read the Bible. How many people went around harassing God? It was God chasing them around with vision. Moses will be going, God, Moses, I will catch you today. Set a bush on fire, then God will hide behind. You don't beg God for such things. What you beg God for is understanding of his ways. Are you getting my point? Once you have the right understanding, the right things, right decisions tend to come out of you automatically. So I told the young woman, I said, it is nobody's assignment to take care of you. I said, I need a man who can take care of me. Why? You're not a child of God if you're thinking like that. You were created for a purpose. You were created for a reason. You should be looking for a man either that's going in your direction or can help you fulfill the call of God for your life, not take care of you. Tomorrow night, you go verse where the man put you and say, you can't go out, you can't sleep, you can't dream, you can't wake, you can't eat, you can't. Say, why is he controlling my life? You wanted a man to take care of you. There was something that this man said once. What is his name? This is our brain surgeon. The famous pediatric. Ben Carson, yes, Ben Carson. He said, people, now, let me first say what I want to say, then I'll tell you what he said. People don't understand that every word, everything that they say, all right, has consequences. And also, Chambers said that you have the right to choose your actions, but you don't have the right to choose the consequences. Is that all right? So Ben Carson said, there are young men who say, nobody can tell me to live my life. I'm going to do this. I do. He said, they end up in a place where they tell them when to wake up, when to sleep, what to wear, when to wear it, when to exercise, when to eat. That's prison. Because they said, nobody's going to control me. Their father couldn't control them. Their mothers couldn't control them. Nobody could control them. Finally, God controlled them, put them in jail. And they saw the consequences of nobody can control me. What am I saying? When I wake up in the morning, I say, I'll give you a man who will take care of me. He will take care of you more than you ever imagined. When you are going out, you phone you, where are you? Tell me, who's talking to you right now? You wanted somebody to take care of you. Nobody's. Now he's taking care of you properly. How do women of God search for husbands? That is expect, you know what I mean? They understand that they have a purpose to serve in life. They are not here as somebody's assignment. Why should God create you as an assignment? You self think about it. As if there are not enough troubles on this earth to solve, that they add you to it. And go and check it. It is a man that should be saying, I'm looking for a man, woman who can take care of me. Do you know that? If you read the scriptures now, if a man says that, slap him also, but that's more appropriate. All right? You know what God said? It is not good that this man be alone. I will look for what? A help for him. Except that it is not a help to take care of him. It's to help him do the work I have given him to do. That's the issue. What am I saying? A man has a calling, a woman has a calling. And I have a personal belief that by the time you marry, most likely, you already told God how far you plan to go in life, especially when you're a believer. I have my reasons for that. We're not talking about marriage now, so let me leave that. I just use that one to illustrate something. The fact that when you are thinking as a believer, you think as somebody who understands purpose. Are you getting my point? These are the motivations for what we call work in Christianity. They are the motivations for what we call work. Number one, we know we are accepted. Number two, we understand that there is a calling in our lives. And essentially, the outworking, all right, of specific work for us, all right, has two phases, basically. There's a phase in which you are training. There's a phase in which you are executing your specific assignment. I hope you get what I'm going to explain. I can't develop it in detail. I just want to say some things here and there. I have many things to say. So there's a stage in which you are getting ready to go and do the work. And there's a stage in which you begin to do the work. But whatever it is, anytime you are thinking of the fact that I was called to do work. That's why, please, one day, brother, you know, a friend of mine, his business was based in Enugu and wasn't doing as well as his friends in Lagos. And they kept on telling him, this is where business is. So one day, he began to think about relocating to Lagos, at least have a branch of his business and everything. He said, then one day he came to church and I was the one preaching. And I said, where are you supposed to live? He said, you must ask yourself first when you want to answer that question, where is ministry? He said, the moment he heard me say, where is ministry is the primary thing in life, he canceled his plans and stayed behind where he was because he understood that this is where for him ministry is. Let me tell you something. The lie of the devil, the satanic principle that we are beginning to operate in life, is when we start thinking that our plans are made concerning where we will get the maximum gain. Are you getting my point? Why are you changing your jobs? These people, they are paying better. Once that's the only reason you are changing, you are a sinner. Only sinners think like that. Men, I mentioned something about Benkasi. Men who have become great in life, most of the time, they tell you stories of when they allowed something, you know, of greater material gain to go because they had a sense of purpose. I read the book the story of Alan Greenspan. I think something about troubled times. Anyway, Alan Greenspan's story, anyway, published like 2 or 3 years ago. And the man that became the, what they call Federal Reserve Chairman, all right, in what we call CBN Governor Nigeria, even he, though he's not a believer and all that, there was a time he made the decision, took a smaller paying job because he wanted to learn. He said, there, they will teach me more. I will learn more. I will be more exposed. Ben Carson, who I refer to, when he went down to Australia to go and work for a year, the greatest thing he brought out of Australia was not money. It was experience. He said, because of the American system of medicine, he didn't have as much opportunities to train himself as he had in Australia. Australia have this Nigerian system, which both of us took from the British system. The British system is that the big boss is the big boss, not supposed to work very hard. You understand? Nigerians copied it, all right? Australians will use it. So the senior registrar in every unit is the hardest working person because that he's the top level before being a consultant, all right? So Ben Carson went to South Africa, to Australia to go and work as a senior registrar, all right? So what senior registrars do that they are quite skilled. Not as skilled as their consultant, but more than the other doctors. But they are not the big boss. So they do the jackie work. They only call the big boss when the work is big. The owners are like, okay, this surgery is going to be complicated, you call the consultant. Or you are in theater and the thing is getting tough, you call him. That's why the word is consultant. Americans don't use the word consultant, they use the word attending. In America, it's from top down. The man that does the hardest work is the one who's on top. So he said, because of that, when he went to Australia, he worked very hard. And when he discovered his skill, because he had a natural gifting and he had been trained in America, everybody, including the people that were not directly above him, started passing work to him. And people said, they are using you. Of course, they will keep. Once you hear they are using you, be happy. If you have never heard anybody tell you they are using you, just know you are not planning to go far in life. If you have never been used, it's because you are useless. If you understand what I'm saying? So I was explaining that, you see, he was used. Everybody used him. And that's how he became useful. Are you following what I'm saying? Until you are being used, you are not useful. So blessed that thee, when you have a testimony, that your friend said that your guy is just using you. Once somebody is using you, it means you are useful. I always say, listen to this. Jacob doesn't prosper until he makes Laban prosper. So I'm talking about how we make decisions in life. So where do I go? That's the first thing. What is my calling? What's my assignment? Are you getting my point? Now we read those two portions of the scriptures, all right? What have I said so far? Outward manifestations of working for God. It starts with something, knowing that you have a calling in life. Your life is not haphazard. Now I read those two scriptures, Romans chapter 12 and this is 2 Corinthians chapter 9 to bring out an issue there, you will discover what he said in Romans chapter 8, and that Romans chapter 12. It said, we all have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, and let each person exercise it accordingly. You will see in verse 1, he talks about presenting your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. He said that is what is acceptable to God. That's your reasonable service of worship. Now, the point I want to make, all right, from these two things, especially from that 2 Corinthians chapter 9, is that you notice that Jesus said something, and Paul said something there. He said, God supplies seed to the sower, and then bread for food. Now, what I want to bring up from there is the fact that God supplies seed to the sower. Now, because we don't have all the time, I can't go into the details. Just trust me what I'm saying, all right? Now, this is how God does things. If God wants something from you, you know the first thing he does? He gives it to you. God never demands from you what he has not given you. Did you hear what I said? God never demands from you what he has not first given to you. That's just the way he is. And that's because he understands that he's God. That's because he understands that he's God. That's why once God gives you an assignment in life, if God were to appear to you like Jeremiah and say, go before this great man, don't bother telling him I can't. Because if you couldn't, he wouldn't have told you to do it. Once he says go, it's because he has given you the enablement, the empowerment to go. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? I said something at the beginning. God does not like surprises. You hear what I said? He does not like surprises. You don't wake up and surprise him. It's not your wife. It's not a young woman you are trying to chase so that she will marry you. It's her birthday. You suddenly produce something she did not imagine. No, this is how he is. If he wants you to sing for him, he gives you the gift of singing first. With God, it's a matter of faithfulness. What is faithfulness? I tell you what to do and then you do it as I said you should do it. Listen, I don't believe we should struggle to preach. No, I've seen preachers, I wonder what they're looking for. I think I say in secret, I can't say openly, all right? The other time I sit down watching television, I tell my wife, this guy is not called to preach. Said, what do you mean? I said, can't you see this way he's struggling? If you see a man who's called to preach, even his ignorance will bless you. That is, he'll be talking nonsense, but you know that he has a gift to deliver this nonsense that he's delivering. There are men that are full of knowledge. When they want to start delivering it from the pulpit setting, the struggle begins. There's one man, I shall not mention his name. A lot of us know him. He's a famous American. He gave his life to Christ and began to preach. And anytime I see him, I start crying in my heart. That this is unnecessary. Now, the man knows how to dance well. When he was a worldly musician, he could rap and dance plenty. Then he gave his life to Christ and became a pastor. I've told you before, you don't have to be a pastor to be doing the will of God. If he has not called you to pastor, if you like pastor from now till tomorrow, you will die and go to hell. Be careful. No, I'm telling you. You don't need to be a pastor to please God. It amazes me, you know, these days in our churches, we like it. You like to promote a man to become a pastor. And he feels satisfied. Yes, it is proof that I have done the will of God. You have just walked out of the will of God for your life into obscurity, into early, premature death. I'm serious. I'm sorry, serious about this. I'm serious about that. If you have read enough, Kenneth Hagin taught me that extensively. People will look at, hey, this great man, why should he just die? A lot of people, that's what kills them. This man I'm telling you about it. They saw him carrying Bible because you gave your life to Christ. You know, one of the mistakes you make, let me say it again, let me say this again, please. One of the greatest mistakes that have occurred around when people who thought they first served the devil, all right? As if there was anything special about their own service of the devil. They now become believers. Is that they want to pay God back for those years. And listen to me, it's a sign that you have not accepted his forgiveness. If you ever say, when I was on campus, I was in the cult, and we know what we did. Now we are going to do the same for the kingdom of God. You are lost. It's, you know, it sounds funny. My wife said that. My wife was talking to me, said, Pastor Van, the kind of things you preach, you are the only man that says it on there. But it's a matter of fact. He said, with the zeal with which we serve the devil, we use that to serve God. Now, that's it. It's an error. God doesn't want that. Doesn't want that kind of rubbish. That is why the man who was mobilizing for the devil will come and think he must mobilize for God. That sacrifice is not acceptable. You know what it means? You have not yet accepted forgiveness. You are still trying to pay back, and God does not accept that. It's an insult. I told you I forgave you. I used to be an armed robber, so now I want to build churches. It's an insult. I told you I forgave you. I stole plenty of money. Now I'm going to look for money and do charity. It's an insult to God. I told you I forgave you. Just go back to square zero and ask me, what do you want me to do? I'll say, go back to school, learn this thing and begin to work. Maybe I want to be a lawyer. And please, don't try to pay me back for the years you served the devil. That was paid by Jesus Christ. So today, a man is singing worldly music, singing erotic music all over the place. Then tomorrow he gives life to Christ. Oh, let us worship the Lord. You don't need to worship the Lord. Go back home, ask the Lord, what do you want me to do? He will say, yes, I gave you the gift of singing, but it's not now. That's one thing my pastor in Lagos then respected Reverend Chris Okoti for. You know Chris Okoti? He refused to sing. Of course, every Christian was waiting, say, after doing the Domine, he will come back to church and say, we praise the Lord. He didn't do any of that. The man went to Bible school and founded the church and began to pastor. People waited for him to sing. He said he had a contract, this and that. Anyway, cut it long story short, till today, Bobo never agrees sing. I'm not saying you shouldn't sing. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I hope you get what I'm trying to explain. That we make a mistake. We are trying to pay back for the evil we did in previous times. It's very common. You see a very rich and successful man. He looks over his life. Now he's 55. What have I done for God? Who did all of this for me? Or those days we used to be in the cult, we made money and all of that. So next thing the guy knows is that because preaching is one place where you don't need a certificate. There's no governing body that regulates the practice of preaching. Everybody who wants to preach, whether you believe in God or not, doesn't matter. And so, you see, it's not terrible when you have money. If you have an anointing and you don't have money, you have to be anointed to preach. You know that? The only thing that will make people come to hear you is because you have something to say. But when you are rich, nothing spoiled. If they won't come to hear you, you will buy the most prime of prime times and put it in their homes because you are rich. You will do your hall so beautifully. You will garnish it. People will come to even see the beauty of the hall, even if they don't believe that you can see anything. I've seen it before. That's why I used to pray. Until today, no, I practice it. I said, God, don't bless me so that I'll be using my money to sponsor Kingdom World Ministries. I said, I will feel like I'm not called. There was a time that God, of course, there's a way, I'm not going to go into that, but there are times you have to make, show God your seriousness and all of that. But in my heart, even when I personally was doing most of the expenditure of Kingdom, I said, God, this is not right. I'm so happy that those days are over. I give more to people outside than I give to Kingdom World Ministries. And I'm very happy. A friend of mine the other day, we're discussing it. I told him this amount of money I give to Kingdom World Ministries every month. And I'm happy. Why? My reason is simple. I don't want to be like, I'm talking because I have money to talk. Are you getting my point? Let it be that I have a calling. It's a mistake people make. They say, aha, we serve the devil. Now we will serve God. On the surface, it looks like it's a good statement, but they did not spoil everything. If I could do this in the kingdom of darkness, now in the kingdom of God, listen, the things that, you know, the devil is wicked. Even if we are serving him, he's a wicked soul. I hope you know that. And God is not wicked. Some of the things that the devil demanded from you, God doesn't demand it. The suffering the devil made you pass through at midnight, God says, it is vain for a man to rise up early and to go to bed late, go and sleep. It's a great error when people want to start paying God back for their previous lives. It is a sign that you have not yet accepted forgiveness. Believe me, God is insulted by it. Don't do it. Don't do it. We started by explaining that you are accepted in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, your sins have been forgiven. I hope you get the point. Now, let me just get back to what I was saying. So I said that God does not demand from you what he has not given you. The first thing he does is to put something inside you. And this is a matter of fact. Everybody, every child of God before you were born, God had a plan for your life. The real outward work of God for you personally, is that okay? Is for you to do that work that he gave you to do before you were born. He looked at Jeremiah. And like I always say, you know, Paul said that God who knew me from my mother's womb, who appointed me an apostle, all those kind of things. Jeremiah said, God said to him, before you were born, I knew you. And all of that, I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. That's what he told Jeremiah. Alright? You hear all of those things in the Bible and you think that it's for preachers. I always say, do you know the reason why you hear the stories of preachers? Because they are the preachers. They are the ones that have the microphone to tell the stories. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Yes. When if I wasn't a preacher and I was organizing a program like this, for you to come, I'll probably be teaching the how to start a small business. You know, that kind of thing. And when I'm teaching you how to start a small business, I'm not going to tell you that God woke me up one night and told me, before you were born, I knew you were going to be a businessman. I ordained you and anointed you with business skills. Therefore, when you listen to businessmen, they tend not to say that. So you think that God never said that about them. But hear me, he did. I hope you are getting my point. The same way God called a preacher, in the same manner, I like the way he said about Bezalel. If you see the name of our books, you see on top everywhere is written Bezalel and Light. That word Bezalel is taken from the Bible. And why did I choose the word Bezalel? To show the skill with which the word of God will come forth. Because God said, I appointed him. That is, he said, I filled him with the spirit of the craftsman. The meaning of the word spirit or that is the same thing as when we say, I anointed him. He said, the spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. So Bezalel also could say, the spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. But instead of saying to deliver the brokenhearted and all of that, he said, to make artistic work in gold and silver and all forms of metal works for the temple and to be able to teach others also. You know what it means? It means I can lay hands on them and they will tap the anointing. But in my own case, it's not by literal, receive it, receive it, receive it, receive it. No. In my own case, it would be like, show up early, hold the iron there, measure this for me, and after staying with me for 2 years, I will have passed my skill into you. The man also was called. There's something I must say at this particular juncture. I said it yesterday, let me say it again. There is no difference in the life of a believer between that which is spiritual and that which is secular. I take my work seriously, preaching the gospel. Alright? And a lot of people understand that because he's preaching the gospel. But they will not take their businesses seriously because it's not the gospel. They will not take their careers. Do you know there are people that God ordained? You will work in federal civil service. The day you resign from there, I kill you within a year. You don't know that? Oh, you don't know that? God, you know, but you know, it's difficult to preach. Because it's about money. 5 years after you start moving, somebody comes and say, oh boy, you dey wait for this government service. Nah, these guys are paying. Then you resign. And oh gosh, how many people have resigned from the plan of God for their lives because of temporary gain? We do it every day. And one of the reasons, all right, is because we don't understand this issue of purpose. Do you know there are people that God called before they were born? He said, you shall work in Enugu State Civil Service. There are people that God said, hey, wait. It's not just civil service. You are going to the primary school's management board. You will start teaching from primary one. I pray that the day will come. When we will come, a young man will finish school and come to church. And we'll call him forward and say, Brother John has just said that God called him into the educational system and they gave him a job in the Enugu State Secondary Schools and he's about to start a career for God in teaching young people. Brother, let us lay our hands upon him and pray for him that he might succeed in this job. For those of you who come here regularly, I told the story the other day that a cousin of mine was getting married. So I was just talking with my mother. I said, what does he do now? I said, the poor boy doesn't have work yet. I said, hey, he doesn't.
How come now? He said he's just teaching in one private school. I said, Abba, mommy, how can you tell me that is not work? How can you tell me it's not work? This is how men become great. I said, what he's being judged by, all right, is how well he's going to do it. But when we don't have understanding and we say it is not work, he too thinks it's not work. So he too sits down and says, I'm waiting for work. The first year passes, he's still waiting for work. Second year passes, he's still waiting for work. Third year passes, he's still waiting for work. 6 years after, he's still waiting for work. So when they ask him, say, over half, I said, since I left school, I've not found work. Because they notice, you go wait, you go tire. In fact, even if I wanted to promote you, you'll be failing my test every day, because the way I promote people is by how they demonstrate faithfulness in what they are doing today. Major problem we have in Christianity is that we have exalted testimonies of money. I remember the story that happened when it was very just to illustrate this. We have the alumni fellowship. Brethren, we gather every year. And one of the things we used to do those days, we don't do that so much anymore. Everybody will come, the graduates, because the students will also come join us for the convention. You introduce yourself. Where were you on campus? When were you on campus? Which course did you study? When did you graduate? What do you do now? And usually, of course, you know, that kind of setting, there are all kinds of people. There are people who work in different kinds of places. And there was something that particular year had happened. I didn't even notice it so much until my friend said it. Somebody said, okay, I'm so-and-so-and-so. I work in MTN. You see the clap. We start from one end of the hall. That is, this brother has prospered. Are you getting my point? Then another person rises up and say, I work in Shell. Oh, God. And quite a number of our brethren work in Shell. Ah, God, clap. Oh, bush. So I work in Mobil. Oh, okay. I used to work in Mobil, but now I have moved over to maybe, what's the name of this American company that had this? No, there's one. Anyway, Halliburton, yes. He said, oh, I've moved to Halliburton. Now I'm in Texas. Hey, clap. Hey, the Lord is good. And I remember, then my friend, Courage, I called him Archbishop. Archbishop got up and said, I noticed that anytime somebody says working in Shell or Mobil or Glow or MTN, even people will clap. He said, well, before I tell you what I do, please give me my own clap first, because that's why I love my brethren. Because he's a pioneer pastor of a church in Sokoto. He said, if I tell you that, you won't clap for me. So clap first before I tell you what I do. No, but you know, there are a lot of things that people are excited about that God is not so much excited about. Some of the most exciting things using God's judgment. The other day, Kingsley and I were talking. Kingsley is a lawyer, has a postgraduate degree in law, and he wanted to teach. And I was excited when he said he wanted to teach. And so we were talking about it. So there was a university he wanted to go and teach in. And along the line, I asked, well, how far now? I said, they are wasting his time, that he's thinking about just forgetting you like that, because his legal practice he's doing, God is blessing him already. And I said, Kingsley, no. It's not about whether God is blessing you or not. In the classroom, in a university, as a teacher of law, you have an opportunity very few people on earth will have. Please, don't stop. I wasn't saying that he must do that. But I said, hey, please, don't look at it as a... So why am I wasting my time? After all, life is moving on. I'm being blessed. I said, no. In fact, he thanked me at the end of the discussion that day that for a while he had forgotten that side of it. We most of the time interpret things as a matter of money. Now they're paying well. Now I forget that side. What am I trying to do to you today? I want you to rearrange your brains. Now I said secular and spiritual with God, they are the same thing. As Banky is called to preach, somebody is called to work in the civil service somewhere. And listen to me, it was ordained before he was born. It was ordained before she was born. Therefore, don't look at the man who's preaching and think he's serving God more than the man who carries files and minutes there and supervises projects for the Enugu state government. There's something you must put in mind. We are all ministers. What did I say? We are what? All ministers. Every one of God's children. And may you see the work that you are doing as such. That is why it is arrant nonsense for you to have a reputation of being irresponsible at work, but your pastor thinks you are very faithful. Did you hear what I said? I said it is arrant nonsense for you to have a reputation at work of being undependable, lacking skill, never improving, not getting better. Yet your pastor thinks that, this guy is very faithful. You know, remember that story we read? Jesus said the last day, some people will come and say, after all, we're casting out demons in your name. And Jesus said, whose name? Me. Okay, they went out. Yes, they did. Okay, but I didn't know you. The name must have been flying around. You just took the anointing, hanging around, and used it, and it worked. I said that when God is judging, he doesn't go to church. You know the lay people he judges in church? People like me. Yeah, it's my job. I'm supposed to go there and go and preach. And people who are ordained to assist me. Are you getting my point? For the average Christian, when he wants to judge you, no, he's not in church. He judges you at work. He goes to the gate of the federal secretariat and sees the time you will arrive. He will see the time you will leave. He will see how long the fire stays on your table before he moves to the next table. And whether they have to oil the fire with 500, 1,000, 2,000. Do you know how many people have eaten their destiny while they are oiling the fire to move from one table to the other? Their destiny, your work, come out. So God said, Gabriel, how is he doing? He said, about God, I'm ashamed to say, he got only 5% last year. Can we promote him? And Gabriel said, thou knowest, Lord, he's not promotable. He's all right. Get 2 demons to demote him. So he will go and tell Pastor, Pastor, I don't know what is happening. And Pastor is such a faithful brother. Brothers, we shall pray. Holy Ghost, fire. The blood of Jesus. They said, use that blood to cleanse his attitude towards his work first. Are you seeing what I'm saying? What am I going to emphasize there? How do we work outwardly for God? This is how it is. Read SOS, Songs of Solomon chapter 1. It said, my brothers made me keep their vineyard. My own vineyard I have not kept. This is what I have noticed about ministries today. That is, Christians and churches. They tend to keep the pastor's vineyard and never keep their own. I don't know whether I said my point. It's because of wrong thinking. They think that's the only work that is God. That is God's. Therefore, the man will regularly neglect his work that he's working for government because that's not the work of God. He looks at his job in the bank as where I make money to go and use to serve God. I don't know whether you hear what I said. That is where I make money to go and use to serve God. He works in one company. He looks at that company as where I make money that I will use to serve God. So God, please, wait. I want to go and make money so as to serve you. But you know what God is saying? No, my brethren, no, my children, no. That work is my work of service. That is where you are serving me. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. That is where you are serving me. When you are doing business, you are not making money to go and use to serve. Oh gosh, I wish you understand what I'm saying. That business is the work you are doing for me. That is why you cannot sell fake products. You can't. That is why you can't cheat your customer. That's why you can't sell something to him that you know he does not need. Because it is like me preaching a gospel that I know is not true. Hey, I wish Christians would understand that. That's why if I gave you this pulpit here to build, the same way Pastor Banky will not be satisfied. If he wrongly interprets the scriptures, you also should be dissatisfied. If he comes and tells you that this edge is not smooth, hope you are getting my point. That is a carpentry work. As you are planing the wood, as you are measuring it, you are measuring as unto the Lord.
Oh gosh.
You make clothes. A man wears your suit. You should go and peep at him and tell somebody, what does it look like? Say, man, that guy's suit is clean. Don't say anything. Say, thank you. Go away. That is, you know you made it as unto the Lord. You're not a tailor to make money to serve God. No. You are a tailor unto the Lord. I wish you get the point. You're not a mechanic to make money to serve God. You are repairing cars as if the Lord were going to drive the cars himself. I hope you're getting what I'm going to explain. Listen to this. You are not a film star because they pay a lot of money. Oh, let me use it. You're not an actor, yes. Because they pay a lot of money and then you can now use it to serve the Lord. The acting must affect the cultures around you. You must be out there portraying your faith. I'm not saying you go and preach. You know Christian movies. Praise the Lord. Ah, sister, good morning. Have you prayed today? That's not what a Christian movie is necessarily. Are you getting my point? There's no reason why being a believer and a producer, you are not as skilled as Steven Spielberg. There's no reason. For the believer, there is no difference between something is secular and something is spiritual. The gift that God has put in your hands is spiritual. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. The gift, the work that God gave you is spiritual. Look, if I say this, I hope I don't sound anti-establishment, because that's not the issue. I just need to balance the misbehaviors of Christians. The day of judgment, there are those that God will ask, where were you the day this man was supposed to drive this car and the car didn't work and you were the mechanic to do the work? He gave you the car for 3 days. You were not there. He says, sir, what happened was that we needed to go to church to go and clean because we had a special something. So we're there cleaning. Okay, after the first day of cleaning, the second day, he said it was time to paint the church. He said, did I not give you money? Why didn't you give them money to hire a painter? I said, Lord, we needed to paint it with holy hands. He said, God will look at you and say, I gave you a vineyard. You did not keep it. You were keeping another vineyard that I did not give you. You know why I don't want to sound anti-establishment? All right? I'm not going to discourage people from doing the work of ministry, assisting in church and all of that. But I think Christians misbehave a lot. They have only a reputation of good behavior when it comes to their church, a ministry. Meanwhile, Paul said something. If you want to appoint a man as an overseer, make sure he has a good reputation outside. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. What I'm saying, I hope it is clear to you. I want to understand something. No, this is just by the way, just a joke I've told a number of times, something that really happened. I sat here one day, one young man came to see me. I've not seen him in a long time. He had issues, he and his father. He has had serious problems and all that. His father gave him... Anyway, something happened. He was having problems. So I think what happened was that his father gave him money. And he had not paid his school fees. So he was already having distress. And I said, are you a very good Christian young man? I said, your father gave you money for your fees. I said, I suspect you use that money for evangelism. He looked at me and said, yes, sir. I said, you're a rogue. He looked at me as I was laughing. I said, you're a rogue. Listen, your father gave you money. Do you work? He said, no. You don't work? No. You don't work? He said, no. Fine. Your father gave you money to go and pay fees. You said you need to buy handouts. He gave you money. He gave you the whole money together. And because you were the head of the crusade team of your fellowship, you guys went to go and do evangelism in a neighboring village. And the moron that you are, you took the money your father gave you to go and pay fees, to go and pay for hiring equipment because it is the work of God. I said, what do you think your education is? The work of Satan. I said, what are you going to do? It's simple. You will go home because God has mercy on ignorant people like you. You will go home and go and prostrate fully. In case you don't know how to do it, I'm adding this one now. You go and look for one Yoruba boy around to teach you how they prostrate properly in the presence of the king. When you go home, crawl like that to your father and say, I have sinned. Say simply, Daddy, I was confused. The money you gave me for fees, I wanted to use it to serve God. I forgot that obedience to my father is service to God. Please forgive me, I won't do it again. I went to give a brother a pair of shoes once. He was wearing these tattered, ugly, ungodly shoes. And he mounted the pulpit and said, praise God. And he said, praise God, now the shoe had a look. Who is praising God, your mouth or the shoe? So I said, okay, let us close up the shoe. So I called him. I told him how much they sold decent shoes. I told him, take this money. Help me go to the market. I said, am I older than you? Yes. I senior you well for this life. Spiritually, physically, every form. Yes, good. Now, I, your senior brother in the faith, is sending you, junior boy, to market. He said, yes, sir. You will take this money. You go and help me, Pastor Banky, buy a pair of shoes. I need two things from you. Make sure, number one, you like it. And number two, make sure it is your size. But it's not your shoe. I hope you understand. He said, yes, sir. Go and buy it. When you finish buying it, you wear it. I said, do you know why I have to do it like that? Because if I gave you the money, go and buy a shoe. Now, you first go and pay it tight. Then the money won't be complete again to buy the shoe. I said, the money not going to complete again to buy shoe. He laughed. I said, so please, for records, if you take a naira out of this money until you have bought those shoes, before you buy those shoes, you have sinned against me. So he went to the market, bought the shoes, wore them and came to show me. I said, nice, it fits you. You can now I dash you. Show me how you will tight the shoe now. You go call scissors, cut away part of the leather. He said, Pastor, chew this one. It's part of the Because you see, we think God only exists in one place. We don't know that as we are walking on the road, you are crossing the road as unto the Lord. And you are driving. You are a bus driver. You think you are the only one going somewhere. You drive around, scratch somebody's car because you are in a hurry. You are sinning against God. You jump queues anywhere because you know people. Yeah, when you get to church, praise the Lord, you obey the usher so crazily. But once you read the road, you are the typical area boy that you've always been. But when you enter church, yes, sir. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. What did you say? I should sit right here. Amen. What have I not explained? How do we work for God outside? Let me tell you. God has a primary assignment for your life. For you to be faithful in the work he has given you, whether it's spiritual in your eyes or secular in your eyes, is the first work that you have for God. Young people, your first work for God is at home. Students, your first work for God is in school. Workers, your first work for God is in the place where you work. Are you getting my point? It is good to volunteer because there's something about the word of God. And let me just quickly say this, it's important. There's a special... He said, those who labor in word and in doctrine, they are worthy of what? Double honor. Now, that tells me something. I believe every Christian should participate one way or another in the propagation of the gospel. Are you getting what I'm saying? I believe that. But God has not allowed me right now to focus on that side of it because apparently we have heard too much of that. We have left the other side. Which, let me tell you, the day of judgment. Do you know there's a judgment day coming? There are two judgment days, all right? The first judgment day is the judgment day that's always happening every other day in your life. What I mean is that there's judgment day for how you lived as a young man when it will affect what you'll be like as an old man, all right? But at the end of everything, there is a final judgment day in which God judges. This is the interesting part. He said books were opened. Another book was opened. Now, he described the fact that the saints, all right, I'm putting many things together, were judged according to the things written in the books. Different from those who are just check whether their name is in the book of life, all right? Now, how does God judge? we'll go out of time, we can't read everything. If you read Psalm 40 and Psalm 130, I think 136 or 139 now, just escape me. He explained that, I won't read it, but let me just quickly be sure I got the Psalm right. When he said, thou didst form my own what part, I will give thanks to thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And wonderful, that's 139, all right? Okay. You will see that in verse 16, that he said, thy eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when I said there was not one of them. You will see this how God judges. Let me say this quickly to us, again, because I've said it several times. God doesn't record sin in heaven. The day of judgment, sins are not brought up. Your sin shall soon find you out. That is true. But not the way you are thinking. They won't say, hey, we have caught you now, boy. Welcome. Sit down. Somebody said, they will now play a film of your life and show all the places you went you were not supposed to go to. All the girls you took out and you were not supposed to touch. All the monies you ate that was not your own. All the lie you lie where they don't catch you now. And that day you now believe, God, I'm very sorry. I don't think God has time to be recording the number of lies you tell. You have told in the lifetime. Actually, he doesn't have the time. You know what sin does? Sin is the reason why people don't do the will of God. That's the summary. Sin is the reason. If you're a liar, you will lie yourself out of destiny. If you are a cheat, you will cheat your destiny. You will cheat yourself. Now, you think you are cheating somebody else, but you are cheating yourself. If you are covetous, you can't obey the call of God for your life. Like I said earlier, if you are the woman that says that, I'm looking for a man who will take care of me, you can never find a man God ordained for you to marry. Because God sent no man to take care of you. You are not a project. Yeah, you are not a project. You are as much a child of God as the man you want to take care of you. Both of you were called by God to fulfill his purpose on the earth. So you marry a man who together you can fulfill the purpose of God. And believe me, if God could not have given somebody like me a wife to take care of. Because I have too much work to do as things are right now. You shouldn't add another person to it. If she cannot help me, God, may I not marry? I know as a matter of fact. And I thank God my wife is really, really helping in everything. If you see, like Bishop will say, if I don't have peace at home, I can't preach properly. You see a pastor come and say, praise the Lord. Your enemies are in trouble. It's his wife. You see all that one, eh? He has to vent his anger somewhere. There are those who say, today we are going to pray. Every offense in your life is because they stole his money. So, you see, he's angry with the thief. So he has come today, and this is the place where he has the power. So all of you will join him in destroying the thief. So a lot of men who pray angry prayers is their wives. He said, we're preaching a balanced doctrine. All these women that will not respect their husbands. Look at it. God, your judgment day is coming. Your judgment day is... It's a girl that won't let him have peace at home. What am I saying? This is what happens when you do things that are wrong. You are unable to find the right divine course for life. So when you make up your mind that I will marry a man that will take care of me, the man that God said two of you should take care of work, take care of life, take care of the assignments I have for both of you, he will come. But at that time, he won't be able to take care of you. You know why? Because actually, he did not think you were a project in life, so he wasn't preparing to take care of you. Are you getting my point? Therefore, that's what sin does, all right? You will miss him for that reason. What does sin do? It doesn't let the businessman see the opportunity that God is giving to him. You know what happens? This is what Satan does. He will tell you, just turn the figure like this. Look, which one did we tell them? We told them that these towels will supply pure cotton, 10,000 pieces. And the unit cost 100 naira. Now, boy, we have this Christmas is coming. We have to make money. Let's cut it down to 65% cotton. Put 35% polyester. They won't know the difference. It will work. Nobody to clean face. It will work. That's 1 million naira extra. You know, there's this group of people that God left there to be helping corrupt people become more corrupt. They are called Chinese people. All right, you go there. You say, how much? So I make this one for you, $5. He said, I don't have $5. He said, okay, remove the cotton inside, put polyester. The Chinese man will put color of cotton, smell of cotton, but put polyester inside. It's called sin. Listen to me, whether you find out or you don't, that is, whether your customer finds out or not, you have closed a bigger door for breakthrough against yourself. Listen, a lot of men in life, they made a 100 million naira doing business. And because they came out of the village of poor people, their father is poor, their mother is poor, their cousins are farmers and poor, they are still tapping palm wine and, you know, and harvesting palm fruit. When they made 100 million, bought a Hummer and built a duplex at home, one in Lagos, you know, suddenly he feels rich. Then when he comes home for Christmas at the family meeting, nobody else should talk again. Because he made 100 million. And God is looking and laughing. And the angels are shedding tears. See, look at this goat. We ordained that he should be giving out 100 million every quarter for charitable causes. He has closed the door. But he has made 100 million. So he's happy because everybody around him is poor. So he thinks he's rich. That's why you must never judge yourself by other people. That's why, look, don't compete with anybody. Because right now you are competing with those who are in front of you. A day will come, you'll be competing with those who are behind you, which means you are not going anywhere again. They say, run. He said, they never even catch up where I reach. Then you go stop. God will say, meanwhile, I gave you legs to run 7 times as fast as there. But just because you are one step in front of them, you slow down. As the man is rejoicing over the 100 million he has, he doesn't realize that he was ordained not to make 100 million, but to give out 100 million every quarter to charitable causes for the amount of prosperity God will have poured into his hands. But cheating has closed the door. But that cheating gave him 100 million. Are you seeing the point? You build a filling station, you rig the pump small, and you are building houses, and you are rejoicing. And the angels are saying, hey, this guy is blind. Go and listen to our series, The Fruitful Life. I explained it there. That what sin does is that it blinds you. As you are making extra money from that pump, you are closing the ability to own refineries. It's one filling station you are seeing. What God is seeing is one refinery in Enugu, another one in the maybe near Abuja, one in Cameroon, one in Ivory Coast, and one in Singapore. That's what God is seeing. What God is seeing is at least 2 tankers. I mean ships that carry crude and one that carries liquefied gas. That's what God is seeing. But Satan says, bow before me, I will make you rich. What does it mean to bow to Satan? He said, life is hard. This, just read the pumps. Monsters of 10 liters. Give them 8.5. They won't know. That's why God doesn't record sin in heaven. Doesn't have time. The sin is worrying you enough on the earth. Let me say this one. I like to say it because it's true. When you see big men, once they become rich, then they can add a new girlfriend. One on campus here. One when he goes abroad. And you know that. And then, after I'm still taking care of my wife. You know that kind of thing. What he doesn't realize is that he stepped into a realm where he can trade in hundreds of millions of naira. Adultery left him of that realm. He would never go beyond that level. If he had kept himself pure, in another 5 years, he won't be talking in hundreds of millions of naira. He'll be talking in hundreds of millions of dollars. If he had maintained his marital integrity, his children would have been, that is, by the time they are 25, 30, all right? He will be handing to them companies to manage for him, and they will be valuing each company at 2 billion naira, and he's giving that to a 25-year-old boy. But because he came from a heritage of poverty, I wish you would understand that, believe me, a lot of us are very poor. Nigerians, Africans, we are still very poor. Therefore, don't be excited when you buy a car. If I were the pastor of a big church, No, I will ban everybody from testifying they bought a car. Tell me privately, I'm not saying it on the pulpit. I will never say it on the pulpit. I think it has run all of us mental. You buy one 10-year-old Toyota Corolla that was being driven by a part-time student in America. And you come to church, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Isn't my God good? Isn't my God good? As if your car has improved the goodness of God. It's the heritage of poverty. I'm sorry. You know, it's not your fault. You know, it's not my fault. It's our fault. You know what I'm saying? It's all of us. What I'm going to say, we don't reach for great. No, I told you, look, there's one problem. Look at Africans, at least. Correct me if I'm wrong. How many of you speak Igbo here? Okay, I need just two people to put up their hands. Tell me the word for 1 billion in Igbo. Give me the word for 1 million. And I don't want multiplication, though. Because, look, I'm a Yoruba man, eh? In Yoruba, too, the biggest word we have is for 50,000. Every other thing is multiplication or a recent development. No, there are words that are recent. You don't know that. No, you can have a word for uncountable. You know, there's Africans tend to have words for a few hundreds, a few thousands, then they now jump to uncountable. Now, look, please, correct me if I'm wrong, but generally I've looked around there. Eh? I'm bringing an issue. We don't count. You know why we don't count much? What do we count? Yam. No man harvests more than 50,000 tubers of yam. It shows the mentality of the men. Eh? It's sin. I told you before, it's sin. It's iniquity. It's Noah. It's all this cause of harm and all of that that cause all the problem. And I'm a preacher of the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. And that's why I don't want you to be excited over 10,000. Be thankful. Oh. Are you getting what I'm saying? But don't look at it as if I have not arrived. The Bible calls the prosperity of fools. That's what the Bible calls the prosperity of a fool. Once he attains something that he has never seen before, he's excited. Not knowing that anything that's done in his life, like Miles Monroe, is not a potential. Miles Monroe said anything that has been done in your life is no longer a potential. It's that which has been done. And your potential is big. That when they call God omnipotent, it means whatever he has done in your life has not even come near explaining what he can do. That's what sin does to people. It doesn't let them count. The ability to count in great numbers is divinely inspired. When you see men inventing words like billion, trillion, they open the name. They even put zillion. That zillion is when you count the 00 100 times. That's the 000. So that becomes 300 zeros. It's the ability to imagine. That was what God sold into, Abraham. He said, look at the stars, can you number them? God said, not yet. Abraham said, not yet. He said, good, your descendants should start inventing numbers for them. Oh God, there are things in the scriptures. I don't want to sidetrack you. I would have told you that the stars Abraham saw, I've seen some of them. Fly over Dubai at night. Those are the stars Abraham saw. Fly over Paris at night. Those are the stars. He didn't get around looking up like this. God took the man up somewhere. The guy looked around. When he saw the development that his descendants would bring to the earth, he said, what do you want? He said, kill Isaac. He said, do you want five of him? What am I saying? Sin does not allow us to see. Once God removes something from your life, evil from your life, the first thing that your vision expands. Once Lot departed from him, God said, Abraham, come, look up. Once Lot is still hanging around, you can't see anything. So when they say look up, what they see is 160-watt bulb in their room. Nothing more than that. Why? Because of iniquity. So they start saying that I'm a humble man. Humble, the humility of sin and iniquity. I'm a humble man. All I want is enough money for my children to go to school, to build a house, and be able to change my car every 16 years. Yeah, what more is a man looking for? You know a man whose sin has removed his ability to see. No truly righteous man talks like that. No truly righteous man talks like that. No truly righteous person talks like that. Because if you have visions, you won't talk like that. He said, there's no power in Nigeria. How can you talk like that? When they say our roads are not good, you can't talk like that. When you see the amount of people that can't have quality education, you can't talk like that. When you see that a lot of people say, look, Nigeria is a place where majority of people don't own their own homes. You can't talk like that. It's sin that blinds you, start talking. All I want is just enough to pay my children's school fees. You know a man who his father has sinned, he is still sinning. There are two kinds of sin. There's a sin of active commission. There's a sin of ignorance. They tell you the truth, you don't want to hear it. That's what sin does. What am I saying? But what does God really judge? What does he record? He said, I gave you an assignment before you were born. Then I record how much you performed the assignment. Then I compare the two in the day of judgment. I don't have time to be talking about who sinned and who did not sin. How I know the man that sinned is that he won't do anything. Jesus said the servant that he put in charge of a household, he could not do what he was asked to do because he was busy oppressing the other servants. Preoccupation with iniquity is why you will never discover the will of God or do it. I hope you are following what I'm saying. When you bear this in mind, you just go around jumping around and say, I'm doing the work of God. The first work of God, I told you, is inside your heart. Because without it, you can't see clearly. Please, if you, a lot of us, I can see, we're not around during our, when we're talking about the fruitful life, the MP3 CDs, I think they're out there. Pick the CD, please, I'm begging you. The fruitful life. I talked about how Christians get results. This ability to see. Let me just give you a tip as an example of the things I said in there. I explained that David did not kill Goliath because he just felt happy and he just hoped that thunder will strike and Goliath will fall. David knew how he was going to kill Goliath. His faith. Now, I need to say this to you so that you understand. The faith of David was not God. Yeah, Goliath shall fall. Everybody speak against Goliath. Goliath, Holy Ghost, fire. Oh, the blood of Jesus is against you. The Lord Jesus is against you. Goliath, you are coming down. This Goliath I see today, I shall see no more. You are standing right now, you shall fall tomorrow. All those kind of confessions is the confession of a man in unbelief, trying to convince himself he has faith. You know how David killed Goliath? He looked at Goliath and instantly he knew how he would take the guy down. So he turned around and said, what are you going to give me if I take him down? He looked at Goliath. The moment he saw the man, look, this was what faith did. It gave him the vision. The man suddenly saw, this young man saw how Goliath was going to come down. He turned around and asked, what is going to be given to, why should I kill him for nothing? What is going to be given to the man who will bring this guy down? And they said, his father's house shall not pay taxes. He will give him this amount. He will marry the king's daughter. David said, that's not bad. That's a shortcut to royalty. Let's see. All right. What am I going to explain? Let me not go into detail about that. All right. The same way you brought Goliath, David brought Goliath down. There's a Goliath standing against your business. There's a big project in your heart that God wants you to develop for a nation like Nigeria. Or let's even start from your state. Or start from your school. Or your local government, somewhere. This is what God does for you. Alright? When your heart has been purified. He gives you a vision of what to do. Everybody else will say that it's not possible. But you are not saying, you know, there's this kind of, my God can do it, my God can do it, my God can do it. Christians say, which does not mean anything. When most people say that my God can do it, what they are saying is, I don't know what to do. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Let's just be trusting God. That means we don't know what we're going to do. It's a good confession to make when you are that confused. You just continue to say it. But don't take any step until that confession is no longer necessary. Do you hear what I said? By the time you start taking steps, you know what to do. God will have given you a revelation of what to do. I said in that series, I said faith is not foolishness. If what you are doing as a step of faith is foolish to you, believe me, it indeed is a foolish step. The man of faith, his steps are not foolish to him. It is those of us who are watching from outside that look at them as foolish. If what you are doing appears foolish to you, it's foolish. What am I saying? Purification of sin opens your eyes. God will be able to show you what you are supposed to do so that by the time you are taking steps, you are taking them with conviction. You're not doubting what you are trying to do. Then God will arrange. You know, all those people say that you don't know this can go wrong, this can go wrong. God will now go and ensure they don't go wrong. That's what he will now do for you. What do I mean? So when David took his sling and aimed the man, normally he doesn't miss. And God ensured that day he did not miss. All the breeze that would have blown and moved the breeze out, moved the stone out of trajectory. Angels held it back. Said, don't blow yet. Somebody wants to kill somebody. I just wanted to go to that side. That's what sin is. But how does God judge? God says, the assignment I put in your hand, have you allowed long throat to prevent you from fulfilling it. They have used big salary to entice you away from where destiny lies for you. They have given you a visa now. You have not disappeared from the call I have, because people say that in Nigeria you are not doing well. All you are doing is teaching in secondary school. How can you, at this age, be teaching in secondary school? And the same people will open their stupid mouths tomorrow and say the educational system is not good. It's not good. Then they will look at the righteous man and say, how can you, at this age, be teaching in secondary school? Then they will turn tomorrow and say, these schools are not good. They are not good. They are not good. Then they turn to a good man and say, how can you be working in a school? Ah! God say, what do you want me to do? I will shoot somebody. Oh. These are politicians, are useless. They are useless, they are useless. Then the brother said, I want to enter politics. Don't, oh, it's dirty, it's dirty. God said, what to these kind of people, what can I do for them? What can I do for them now? Believe me, have the courage to be a politician. I don't have time to discuss that in details. You will take down Goliath. Did you hear what I said? You will take down Goliath. What did I say? Say, I will take down Goliath. Just wait. Enter. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. There are people that when they get to heaven, God will say, hey, judgment day, sit down. Give him a chair. Give me the book. Read the first line. It shall be a local government counselor. Were you doing counsel? Ah, I said, okay, let me tell you what happened. Nigeria. Hey, that country had... One of my neighbors, he tried to enter politics. Do you know they kidnapped his father? Now I look and say, oh, but why take the risk? Now I look for a job. In one telecom company, just opened. I was their best salesperson. Read the next line. They will read and say, the father one said, I was meant to be the president between this year and this year if he had followed our counsel. You say, read that again. Are you serious? So at the end of the day, what do you do? He said, throw him, go and read the joiner. Go and read the joiner's book. He said, find him a house at the back where he can hardly see the throne without binoculars. No, go and read the joiner. You understand what I'm saying? There's some people when in the congregation before the throne of God, they are at the back to see, and you will get to get Hubble Space Telescope to see where God is in front. Why? Because somebody lied to him that politics is dead. He said, I don't have money. God said, did I say you should go and look for money? I said, just take a card. INEC said, you don't have to be a member of party to join this particular, to contest for this office. Just go there. Say, good morning. Give me a card. That's all I said you should do. And start campaigning. He said, but I didn't have money to print posters. I said, campaigning and poster is not the same thing. Just stop one, enter one of these Coast City buses. Say, anybody from Kano West here? Today, Saturday, please vote for me because the Lord has sent me to come and deliberate you. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to be a good counselor for you. You know what? The worst that will happen? You will lose. That is the worst. You won't die. And you'll even tell stories later. I say, brethren, do you know there was a time I contested for that office and all God wanted is just contest. Once you contest, I file it. Once you contest, I do what? I file it. And then, one day somebody will pick up the story and say, there was one young man. You don't know that. This is just by the way. You think Charles Ludo went to go and join PDP? PDP came to join him. The Lord is good. What am I trying to explain? The work of God for you is not necessarily spiritual. It is to be faithful in that which he committed into your hands. We read from that Romans chapter 12. He said, God has given each one of us a grace. That is something that we do confidently. Let me just say this so I can begin to close. If you have to choose what to do, so-called for God, you know, either in church or outside, you know where you look for, what you look for to do. Look for that you have grace to do. I said something when I was starting. That God doesn't ask for things he did not give. Did you hear what I said? God, listen, does not ask for gifts he did not place inside you. Therefore, if you know what God wants from you, you ask yourself, what has he placed inside me? I need to say this again. A lot of people are confused thinking that the title pastor is more spiritual than the title engineer. Are you getting what I'm saying? If he has not given you the gifts to interpret and decode and expound the scriptures, don't consider it promotion that they gave you that title. Did you hear what I said? There are three things I said in that book that God is doing in your life. One, he's doing a work in you. We have discussed that. And I said number two, he's doing a work through you in the body of Christ. And number three, he's doing a work through you in the world. Listen to me. The work he's doing through you in the world is just as important in the day of judgment as the one he's doing you in the body, through you in the body of Christ. There's a mistake I think a lot of us had, we used to make. And I discuss in the book, please read the book, How to Work for God, please, I'm begging you, alright? The reason being that, like I said, what I preach in these 3 days, which I'm ending in about 10 minutes, alright, is not up to, I said one-fifth, let me cut it down to one-quarter of what I have in the book. For example, I didn't talk about praying as a work for God. I'm not talking about it at all. I've hardly talked about the principles of giving as working for God. Although I mentioned that briefly, alright? Just briefly. I talked about all of that in the book, alright? Now, in the day of judgment, the so-called church, and that's what God is doing to you in the church, and the one is doing to you outside, they are just as important. I talked about, I was going to explain something about a mistake we make, right? Can you remember that? What's the mistake we make? Most of us don't want to preach. We have one mode of preaching, which is preaching as an evangelist. You go and hire a megaphone. If I say some of these things, of course, now, these days, my wife thinks I'm really, me and Tony Bakari, we sound alike to her now, you know, very radically different from everybody. You carry a megaphone. Praise the Lord. I want you to know that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. This is at 4:30 a.m. in the residential area. They should send you to jail. You think because you are a preacher now, you can interrupt our sleep and we should be grateful. Mama used to park like that in front of my house where I used to stay. Around 4:30 in the morning, he would tune his loudspeaker on top of his car and start giving one dry and dull message that's guaranteed to turn you off if you're not a believer. You know, I say, but God has converted some people like that. I told you before, even donkey back, Balaam might be converted. Doesn't mean we're going to hire a team of donkeys for our evangelism. So all of you, don't give me one example. That's not the usual example. You wake everybody up in the morning because you must be Rehan Bonnke. You're not Rehan Bonnke. We don't want to listen to you. Go away. The Lord is good. What am I going to explain? All of us want to bring a donkey. Meanwhile, it's not necessary. I have discovered from experience, all right, that it's not necessary. Please read that book. I told the story of Demon Shakarin and get his book and read his book also. What's the name of the book? The Happiest People on Earth. Demon Shakarin used to do a lot of work, but you know one of the places where he used to really, really minister for God was as a dairy farmer. Do you know that God... Let's read this scripture quickly. Open to the book of Psalms, chapter 50. Let me read this one. I've taught from it several times before. If you have our series, there's a series I did then on, what do you call it? Thanksgiving, something like that. I can't even remember now. I have different... and something on experiencing the power of God. I did a series then, and I explained this thing there, Psalm 50. If you read from verse 7, I'm closing in less than 10 minutes, please. Let me just hurry. He said, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I do not reprove you for your sacrifices, and your burnt offerings are continually before me." God was saying that I'm not angry that I have not been getting your money. I'm not angry that you have not been bringing the animal sacrifices. That's what he was saying. He said, "I shall take no young bulls out of your house, nor male goats out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills." He said, "I know every bird of the mountains, and everything that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all it contains. He said, shall I drink the flesh of bulls? Shall I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of male goats? The answer is no, that's not what I'm desiring. What do I desire? Verse 14. I want you to offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. If you notice at the beginning, God said, I'm not angry because I'm not getting sacrifices. So it's not a sacrifice that's the issue. It's a kind of sacrifice. He said, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you and you will honor me. There's a reason why I read this. I want to explain the principle. What God was saying he was lacking here was the demonstration of his power in the lives of people. When he talked about the sacrifice of thanksgiving, he said, I have not done anything for you in recent times for which you will say thank you. I don't know whether you get the point. That is, you have prospered. So you know people so much, when you have troubles, you call those that you know. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. You are so rich, anything you need, you spend money. Therefore, you never have a cause to come to church and say, praise the Lord. I had a difficult situation and God helped me. I'm bringing an issue here. Do you know that the main place where we do our evangelism is while we give God a sacrifice of thanksgiving? Let me explain what I mean. I was talking about Demos Shakarian. While he was a dairy farmer, the demonstration of God in his success in dairy farming was his testimony amongst the unbelieving dairy farmers. I don't know whether I get the point. God said, Jesus said like this, you will be my witnesses first where? In Jerusalem. Jerusalem, there are different ways to interpret it. It can be immediately your immediate family. Judea being your extended family. Alright? Samaria, those who are not related to you, and then the uttermost parts of the world. There is also Jerusalem as the place where you walk. Are you getting what I'm saying? The profession that you are part of. And then the uttermost parts of the world. What am I saying? You have a grace, we were saying earlier. God has a call on your life to walk in certain areas. Listen to me, I don't have time to explain. That is the area where you will experience the demonstration of his power. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Grace is the power of God that is poured into your life while you are fulfilling his assignment for your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me explain what I'm saying. If God called you to be a teacher, you will never experience grace as a businessman. Two things. Number one, you will always be losing money. Two, you will not have the release, listen to this, of divine power to do unusual things in your career. I don't know whether you are following what I'm saying. Let me say it again in another way. The man who is a teacher, look, like I'm a teacher, all right? I was born to teach. If you guys were not going to get tired, the next 2 hours we'll go sit down here. That is, we've done 2 hours, so we have 2 hours to eat. But I have mercy on you, you have to go home. Why? It's in my blood. Let me explain what I'm going to bring up. I teach in the university, all right? This has happened to me several times. This is not once, not twice. This has happened all the time. A student will ask me a question. Before he asked, I did not know the answer. As he's asking, the answer begins to form in my mind. He finishes, I give him an answer that his face lights up. I'm not joking about that. I've had situations in which I was in my office, I was going to give a lecture. I remember this particular one. Then I was new in Enugu, all right? You know, I teach medical students, fourth year medical students. And if you've been to a medical school, I don't know how it is in the other faculties, but there's a habit. Even secondary school, yeah, we had it. There are hot students that test teachers. You know that? Yes. One day, one student told me that their class had finished testing me. I just came. And they arrested that this guy is good. What happened? One of those testing days, I remember, this must have been a test. You know how I know it was having one of those tests? I sat in my office waiting for my lecture time to come up. Now, I wasn't preparing for that lecture. I just took one of my books. These books, we use it for postgraduate practice. What I mean, it's not for medical students, all right? It's my specialty practice, all right? So I was flipping through something. I don't know why, I was just reading it, all right? It wasn't part of my lecture. I just was reading it. The one time when my lecturer came, I got up and went to class. I finished teaching, any questions? Then a student asked a question. I still remember the guy's face as he stood up. I remember the corner of the class from where he arose with his question. And do you know what happened? Suddenly, I realized why the Holy Spirit made me read that thing just now. And I said, well, that's not exactly in the scope of what I'm teaching this morning. Tossed my chalk, turned to the board, spent like 2 minutes, dissected the thing for him. I hope you understand. He said, yes, sir. He sat down. He was relieved. I don't know whether I get my point. He would never find out that before I came down, Holy Spirit said, read this portion of the scripture. There's one guy who wants to check who's the lecturer. No, listen, divine manifestation, forget. It's part of, no, really. The first year I thought I got an award, best lecturer in pathology. You know why? I was called to teach. I have the grace. It flows smoothly. I have the ability to make men understand that which they did not understand before they met me. I'm not bragging. As a matter of fact, people have come, they will ask questions and say, wait. Then, suddenly in my mind, is formed the way by which I would decode the matter to them. This is what I'm saying. There are businessmen that God said, I've given you because money is a very interesting thing. Money is interesting. Money is a system. In this world of today, money is not about, it's not just about value. It's about learning how to control a system. So imagine that God looked and said, Joseph, go to Nigeria and control money. And Joseph just comes. And God says, you see the stock market price. How much is Zenith? He said 40. How much is Oceanic? He said 26. How much is GTB? He said 32. So you see all of them. All right. In 18 months, there will be exactly one-fifth this value. Borrow every dime that you need. From the beginning. He will tell you that this is what you are going to do. You know, if it's America, that's what they do. Okay, good. That's as an example. What they call them, they have some options. He said, just take options on these things. So you can borrow 1 million stocks, multiply by 40 different, and then you can be valued at 500 million. I tell the people, I will pay you back in 18 months. You didn't borrow money, you borrowed what? Stock. So you hold it, at the end of it, then you sell it off. And then you know that in 18 months, it will be all one-fifth of the value. At the end of 18 months, it's one-fifth of the value, you buy it back and return it to the pool where you borrowed from. They are called options. What has God done? He has converted a few hundreds of millions into your hand because of what? Vision. This is what I'm saying. A man will get up. This is a mistake we Christians make. He will come and say, praise the Lord. Last year, after I gave a major offering, then the Lord opened my eyes and I saw, you wants to see like me. Then they all rush forward to come and give an offering. And you know the interesting part? God allows them to see, except that he doesn't open any other eyes to see money. He opens one eye to see ability to teach. He opens another eye to see ability to start a ministry. He opens another eye to see ability to go and marry and have children. I don't know whether you get my point. The grace is poured only in the area of their calling. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. The grace is poured only in the area of their calling. I've told you, I don't have time to explain it. We discussed in previous and go to our series, Your Money. There are those that their job is to have money. They will not enjoy more than you and me. Except that if I say that, we are paying bills, so next year, and so on, so it's 5 million naira. Only then we pay 4.5. And to God, he hasn't done anything special. He has only worked as hard as Pastor Bangi who's preaching, and the other brother who gave 200 naira, and the person who cleans the chair. This is the grace I gave him to get money. You know, that's one of the mistakes Christians make. You hear a pastor say, praise the Lord. It's good to serve God. You know, last night I was praying and I asked the Lord, Lord, I need a lot of money. So then this morning one brother woke me up and said, Pastor, you have been a blessing. I give me 5 million naira. Praise the Lord. Who wants to contact that anointing this morning? You will connect with that testimony. Everybody will connect with it. Because you are not a preacher, nobody is bringing money to you. Why are you a preacher? Why should they give you money? It is preachers that people dash money like that, and it's ordained of God. As for you, you're a businessman. When you connect with the anointing, God will open your eyes. You will see what? Opportunities. Nobody's dashing you 5 million bucks. Nobody. In fact, you will be so blessed you will dash people 5 million bucks. What am I trying to say? When you have testimonies in the area, look, listen, that stock option thing I was telling you about, let's assume that God, like Joseph, opened your eyes to see the famine coming. And through that, you know that's what happened to Joseph. Joseph made Pharaoh very rich. By the time Joseph was through, Pharaoh had the whole of the lands in Egypt and all the men were paying him taxes. Because of what? Vision. Because of what? Vision. If at the end somebody said, nah, Pharaoh, come sit down. Joseph, how you take this thing? You know what he will say? This is how you testify for God. He will say, there is a spirit in man and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. There is a God in heaven who created everything. And by his son, Jesus Christ, he's speaking to us today. And that spirit of Christ that was in me was what led me in that direction. The person will believe, even if you don't carry a megaphone at 5 a.m. to wake him up from his sleep. You don't use megaphone and say, the soul that sinned, he shall die, to a businessman who's having troubles. He said, oh boy, let me solve this problem first. Then we'll solve the one of this dying later. Right now, oh boy, I'm owing the bank 650 million naira. EFCC is coming to visit me tomorrow. Right now, the death I know is financial death. This hell, I'm living in it right now. Don't threaten me. What am I saying? We have not been able to witness for God well because we have not been doing the work of God. You go for all night prayer meeting. It shall be well. It shall be well. It shall be well. It shall be well. Then you go to work next day. Nah, they don't pay. Waiting now. Huh? Then you begin grumble morning, afternoon, and night. That Muslim will never believe. If you like, it shall be well from now till tomorrow. It's obviously not well with you. It's not well now. Because where is grumbling, you are grumbling. Where is afraid, you are afraid. He's worried about his children. You are worried about your children's future. All of you are in the same. So the difference that you go to mosque, he goes to church. So continue going to mosque. I continue going to church or whatever. Your God and my God, they are the same. You call him Allah, I call him Jesus Christ. Whatever it is, both of them are impotent. They can't do anything for anybody. You know, that's what you have told him. But then when you get to church, it shall be well. Who will get up and somersault 5 times for the Lord? You go there. You somersault 7 times. He says, it's for my God. I will do anything for my God. And the Lord says, this guy, he goes outside, disgraces me, and comes amongst my children that already believe that don't need this, is foolish testimony. And he starts doing, I just worship the Lord. Even when it comes to worshiping, I can just do anything for God. I can run on the ground for God. Anytime I hear that, it annoys me. Men who can't obey God in matter of money or small, small things, when he's worshiping, they will not lie inside the sand. Say, even my suit, I can dirty my suit for God. Shut up, my friend. Go and obey him properly outside. We will know whether you really can do things for God. All these demonstrations in church, they do it in home theater, also home movies. Don't you see it? Pastor Weaver speaks in tongues. No, you've not seen home movie. Which kind of tongue? You never hear from home video. So tongues doesn't impress me because actors do it regularly in Nigeria now. Anybody can act bishop. Didn't you watch Pastor Weaver? What's Pastor Weaver's, the name of Pastor? The guy spoke all kinds of tongues. The day I saw the guy, which, you know, in Nigeria, Christians don't smoke. The guy was whiffing away on his Benz and said, Next, this guy go enter film. Hey, shaga, bolo, bolo, bolo. He gele, gele, gala, gala, Suzuki, Toyota, 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 Honda, Honda. Who stole my Honda? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. You know, I have so many more things to say, but let me just stop, all right? Let me stop. You can listen to this. You can read the rest in that book, please, all right? And we have, for those of you who are coming around for the first time, we have different messages. I've taught about more than 500, I'm sure more than 700 hours of teaching, which you can just pick on a few CDs, all right? Because we use, this is almost exclusively MP3s. So there are so many things to say. In these 3 days, I can't say everything. But what have I said today? I hope you've heard it. Your main ministry, all right? Your main work for God is that thing that he committed into your hands. Is that gift, the area of your grace. Don't let the world use money to entice you away from where you are supposed to be. Listen, you will farm chicken. You know what they call chicken? You'll be a poultry farmer. And you will have a testimony. After all, there was bird flu at a time. Can you remember? Yeah. And you know the trouble that it caused to poultry farmers. That was the time. He said, look, darkness shall cover the earth. And gross darkness the peoples. But unto you shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. That is, when there's darkness, it's time to shine. When there's bird flu, poultry farmer, it's time for glory. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, it's time for glory. Go and read that book, the Moshakarian's book. Happiest people on earth. One of the testimonies he had in there, they were going to wipe out their flock. They were dairy farmers because those days tuberculosis was mostly spread through milk. And they tested their head, they had tuberculosis in the milk. So they were going to kill 50,000 heads of cattle. And that night, his father was watching. I think he was watching. I forgot to tell you, let me not confuse the story, but read the book. And they saw on TV a preacher say, the cattle is the Lord. The earth is the Lord. And the cattle on 1,000 hills. The earth is mine. God was talking about it. So they picked the phone and phoned the man. He said, we heard you speak on TV that the cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to the Lord. Do you really believe that? The man said, yes. Can we see you, sir? They are in the meeting. They gave him the facts. We're about to lose what we have worked over the years because of tuberculosis. So the man went into the farms and began to curse tuberculosis in the name of the Lord and drove the demon of tuberculosis away from the whole herd. When the people in the Ministry of Health came the following day to test the animals, they were all clean. Do you know why we have not been getting such testimonies? I found out. It's because instead of being dairy farmers, instead of being mechanics, we hear that testimony. All of us go and buy cattle. So that's where the money is now. And that's the preacher that drives away tuberculosis. Then tuberculosis will come, kill all our cattle, and say, God, where were you? God say, where were you? Where did I send you to? We, you. Where were you? Do you think that tsunami in Indonesia killed everybody it met? No, it did not. There was a man, I saw this on CNN, reported by Christiana Mampo, a Christian man who ran an orphanage. When the tsunami hit, I forgot how he found out, he rushed all the children he had with him into his boat. And they decided to start running. They were on the boat. They entered into the water and they were running. He said he turned around and raised his hand. You know what they call a tsunami? You see a whole wall of water about to fall on you. He said he raised his hand and stilled the water. The water didn't become still, but God gave him a wisdom. He said, suddenly he said to himself, he told the person driving the boat, turn around. Head for the water. What? I said, turn around. So as the tsunami was coming, they were going towards it. They headed for the tsunami straight. You know what happened? Next thing, the tsunami lifted them to its crest and dropped them gently behind. Not one soul perished. He said this on CNN. He said, I trusted my God and he delivered me. This was on CNN. Not a story. I watched it. Not somebody told me, Pastor Mike, this is what happened on CNN. I was watching the report. Why we have not been experiencing the power of God is because we have run to go and serve our conscience, saying we are serving God. So God has not been obligated to deliver us. If I locate myself in the center of God's calling for my life, I dare the devil in hell that thinks he has the power to come and challenge me. You can't kill me, young. You can't kill my children. You can't make me fail. You can't kill my wife. You can't make me fail. In this life, I will live long. I will succeed. I have grace working with me. My job every day is to pray against temptations in my life. That is, he said, pray like this. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That God, let my heart not stray away towards that which is not of you. You won't use money to entice me. No. Pastor Bank, this is where the money is. I told you yesterday, I will not build a car for anybody. People love this one. People like, if you pray like this, they will come. Who's begging for crowd? God didn't send me to go and gather people. I hope you know that. He sent me to go and preach. And I know hundreds of thousands as of today has heard the gospel I'm preaching. Ask Israel how many MP3s he has made and sent away from here. In which people are allowed to copy the CDs. That's my job. If crowd like, let them come. I wasn't sent to anybody. If you understand my point. Don't entice me. Sign of success that a car, a pastor now drives a big car. If I have money, I'll buy it. If I don't, it has nothing to do with being a pastor. There's money in Lagos for ministry. Listen to me. Money will follow me wherever I go. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. The world won't give me another agenda. How do I do the work of God? I locate what he wanted me to do in life, and I do it. That's the first thing. All other things are added to this. I hope you've gotten my point. Let's take a minute and pray, therefore.